Jimmy, that was a great kickoff. It's exactly what today is about sharing what God has done in your life. I hope that you come prepared to share what God has done over this last year. So I'm ready to be encouraged like I've been encouraged this morning, when God is evidence and He is real in somebody's life. And it's a testimony to each one of us. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for today, Lord. You've blown a freshness in, not only to me, Lord God, but I feel your presence here today. I feel there's a newness, a glorification of you. Lord, you're going to edify us, because that's what you do. You draw us closer, because you're a caring God. You reveal yourself to us, because you want to be seen. Lord, help us to see you today. In Jesus' name, amen. If you're able and you'd like to stand, maybe you have some of the notes. We're going to read in 1 Chronicles 16, 8 through 12. If you're able and you'd like to stand, please do it as I read. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the peoples. Sing to him. Sing praises to him. Speak of all of his wonders. Glory in his holy name. Let the heart of those who seek the Lord be glad. Seek the Lord in his strength. Seek his face continually. Remember his deeds, his wonderful deeds which he has done. You may be seated. Lord, may your word impact our lives today. This section that we just read is the beginning of a psalm that David wrote for the people to sing and talk about and to worship God with. But it comes at a time after he was going to bring the ark to Jerusalem, because it hadn't been there. It had been stolen. It had been away. But it was at the house of Obed-Edom. And it had been at his house since the accident, the outpouring of the Lord's wrath on Uzzah. Now, they were carrying the Ark of the Covenant. They were carrying it to Jerusalem, to where the presence of God is in the Ark of the Covenant. The presence of God is sitting in on the judgment seat. There's also, there would be the Ten Commandments, Aaron's spudded staff, manna from in the desert, remembrances of things that are important to the people of Israel and of God. They were carrying it back, but they weren't carrying it back the way they were supposed to. They had it on this cart, and as it was going back to Jerusalem, and they were excited, and it was wonderful things. The ark's coming back. God's presence is going to be back in Israel where it needs to be. It starts to wobble. And as it starts to wobble, Uzzah looks back and he says, "Oh, I got to stop it from falling." And he puts his hand on it, and God's wrath strikes down on him and kills him in a heartbeat. David gets upset. He gets upset at the Lord. "Why did you do this? Why?" And then he gets fearful. I can't bring the ark to Israel. So they put it at the house of Obed-Edom, because he was scared. But some after time passed, David would call God, "Do you want me to go attack the Philistines?" And he would go and he would attack, and God would give him favor. And he realized, dude, God's not upset, but he's not mad at me. He's not mad. And he realizes, I need to bring the ark back to Israel, into Jerusalem. So David acknowledges his mistake in 1 Chronicles 15, 12 through 13. He says, "And he said to them, 'You are the heads of the fathers of the household of the Levites. Consecrate yourself, both you and your relatives, that you may bring the ark of the Lord God to Israel, to the place that I had prepared for it. Because you did not carry it at first, the Lord our God made an outburst on us, for we did not seek him in accordance to his will.'" It's important that David, he remembered and he realized what he did wrong. he realized that the covenant, the Ark of the Covenant was not supposed to be on a cart. It was supposed to be carried. Exodus 25 says that the Levites were supposed to carry it with the poles, and they were supposed to be the ones carrying it with delicacy, with purpose. That was what God designed for the Levites to do, was to carry. But they put it on a cart, and they treated it inappropriately. They treated, in a sense, God with disrespect. Treated him the way they wanted to treat him. Do what they wanted to do. And God had a purpose and he had a plan. He said, I want the Levites to carry the ark. They're the priests of the people. So David calls out and says, you know what? I made a mistake. I made a mistake because God initially said the Levites to carry it. So David appoints and he says, I'm going to appoint singers. And they would sing this psalm that we just read about. Just this, we only read four verses of more that are part of this psalm. But I want to focus on that remembrance, that remember verse in verse 8. But before we get to there, the first four verses can be grouped in these three concepts. One, to acknowledge, the acknowledgement of God's intimacy and Him being your God. Two, the dependency upon Him. And three, the relationship of His realness. And we're going to look through that very quickly this morning so that we can get to the point of that verse 8 where we can remember what God has done in our lives in this last year and share out and encourage one another with of who God is, and see that God is intimate. See that He is your God. See that you are dependent upon Him. See that relationship, His relationship with you is real, and that He is a real God. That's what our hope is this morning as we share out. 1 Chronicles 16, 8. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon His name. Make known His deeds among the people. When we give thanks, it helps keep life into perspective, doesn't it? Helps us understand who He is. And we're His beloved servants, His beloved children. Life has ups and downs. And as we recognize who we turn to, who is our Lord, who is taking care of us in the midst of struggles, it gives us the perspective of how to handle situations. When we tell others about God, what He's personally doing in our lives, it shows that intimate relationship that we have with Him and that direct involvement that takes place in our lives. That's what it shows other people. It shows that He is real. In a world that says that He's just made up, He's just a fairy tale, He's a myth, where is He? I don't see Him physically. But we see Him, how He helps us handle situations. We see how He moves in life that we know that only He has done. And we hear a testimony from Jimmy of the ups and downs. But yet God is real to him because He helped carry him through the emotional part of this whole last year. And nobody can take that away from him. But he can share it out like he did and praise God and help us to look to the one true King. Verse 9, sing to Him. Sing praises to Him. Speak of all of His wonders. To be able to respond with praise, to sing, shows a heart of gratitude. A heart of gratitude, how God moves in your life. A heart of humbleness, acknowledging that He is the Lord God. That I've surrendered my heart and my praise to the one true King. Verse 10, glory in His holy name. Let the heart of those who seek the Lord be glad. Seek the Lord in His strength. Seek His face continually. Seeking is to be continual. It's not a one-time thing. God's moved in my life. Let me handle life and do things on my own. Let me move through life, making decisions of what I need to do today and tomorrow, who I need to be with, all of these things, do things. And then when something, a struggle comes, then, okay, God, where are you here? Okay, I need you now. That's not the way God's designed it. We're encouraged by this psalm to continually seek the Lord. David understood that. He said, I'm angry with God. He's probably angry with me, so I'm going to just kind of stay away, because the presence of God would be where the ark is, and the ark would have been, he would have went to the ark and said, God, I'm sorry, let's take the ark right to Jerusalem. We'll just continue with our relationship. But he said, I've got to stay at a distance because I'm angry, and God's probably angry with me, and guess what? He might even strike me down. But he realized, you know what? In hindsight, I should have continually sought after God. I shouldn't have walked away and took a step back because of my situation, even though I handled it incorrectly. I should have said, God, I'm sorry, and I should have walked towards him and said, Lord, I'm here. Let's take the ark. Let's continue what we started. So he tells us, seek him continually. When life gets difficult, when life gets hard, when there's misunderstanding, when there's confusion, don't walk away, but continually seek him. Because he gives the perspective of life that we need. It shows our dependency upon him when I continually seek him. Even when the times get really good and things are easy, that's actually one of the easier times to do our thing, do life on our own, isn't it? Well, I've got a little extra cash. What would I like to do with it now? Instead of saying, well, God, I've got this extra cash. Did you give it to me? What do you want me to do with this? Do you want me to spend it on my family? You want me to spend it on me? You want me to spend it on somebody else? Do you want me to give it to somebody? What do you want me to do with it? I've got some extra time. What do you want me to do with this extra? Maybe I could just sit on the couch, watch TV, enjoy the day the way I want to, do that the next day, and the next day if I have it. Well, I've got what do you want? Or I could ask, what do you want me to do with that, God? What do you want me? I have this day off. What do you want me to do with this day? Continually seeking him when times are good shows our dependency, our humbleness to let him be the Lord in our lives, to let him guide us. Verse 12, remember his wonderful deeds which he has done. And it's in this verse is where we're going to sit today with each other, sharing out, remembering what God has done. We're encouraged to remember and to be reminded of what God has done in our lives. If we don't remember his movements, we'll forget our direction. We could lose perspective. We could become callous towards him or life or people or situations. He has wonderful deeds that he does in our lives. Wonderful ones. When you have a wonderful deed that's done in your life, you want to share it. You want to proclaim it. You want to let people know about it. And he's done wonderful deeds. Wonderful deeds, plural. Multiple things. Not just one or two. So these questions this morning. How has God encouraged you this year? As we're sharing out this morning, how has God encouraged you this year? You know, yesterday we shared in Miss Vivian's memorial service that her life was a blessing to us. Some shared specifically how God used her to encourage them in the Lord. How she used her life to bless somebody else. And it happened to be when somebody needed it and God knew it. How many more situations like that have happened in your life this year? Hopefully you've been thinking about that this week so that you can share out.